There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, to break myself free from these new maps long enough to say, hey, y'all, it's Midday Mobile. Glad you're here. Another couple hours of live local talk. My name is Sean. Best way to get in touch with us through the phone line or text line at 343-0106. Also, you can use our nifty, brand new FM Talk 106.5 app to leave us one of those voice messages we can play back on the air. We'll talk about that more in just a little bit. Yeah, I mentioned this some of this polling last week, but I want to return to this. Just 41% of the public approve of President Joe Biden's job performance, compared with 52% who disapprove. Now, this is from a CNBC All-America Economic Survey poll. Also in this, President Biden dropping with independents. They pulled some numbers I thought were interesting. The 2020 exit polls showed then-candidate, then-now President Biden, winning 54-41% margin with independents. So 54-41, Biden won with independents. They ran some polls here last week as well. If that poll were held today, it would be 45% for former President Trump to 28% for current President Biden, with independents breaking hard for Trump. Also in that CNBC poll, said inflation now ties with the coronavirus as the biggest concern for Americans, up 16 points from their prior survey. So, doesn't look good for the midterms, for sure. What does it mean for 2024? But inflation now is big a concern, and this is nationally, this is over all people, this isn't just Republicans, this is all Americans in that survey. Inflation now tying with coronavirus is the biggest concern for Americans. Speaking of which, let's talk inflation here in Alabama with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. It is the lead-off story in this morning's email. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
It's good, but you got possible inflation-causing issues here in Alabama. State budget leaders, you said, are watching rising inflation and those possible impacts here at home.
Yeah, and we've been tracking inflation just like everybody else has. I mean, it's funny how the federal government, really the White House, has been denying it, right? They for months would just deny the fact that inflation was here, was coming, was getting worse. And you can't deny economic reality. Of course inflation exists. It's here. It has gotten worse. It's the worst it's been in at least, 15 years. So, it doesn't just affect families. Obviously that's the worst part. It's a tax basically on families, whether it's, gasoline, groceries, other goods that you're buying, everything costs more. Well, that kind of can trickle up to the state government, to the state and federal governments, or even local governments. When goods cost more, well, it costs more for the government to buy them, and that can sometimes mean a budget crunch. And so right now, the budget leaders in the state of Alabama who are responsible for, putting every year they put together the budget based on revenues that we think are coming in, they're starting to look at it and say, well, the revenues might be easier to calculate. We don't know how much we're going to be spending on goods, and it's causing a lot of concern in Montgomery.
So, okay, I mean, for example, you point out in the email, but let's talk about gasoline, right? So you got whatever group, Department of whatever, and they got to drive around to do their job, right? The X number of miles needed to do their job. that now goes up. People look at the price of gasoline out there. That goes up. And so they may run out of money. I mean, what do you stop going to do the service the state pays those people to do? I mean, what happens?
Yeah, that's a big one is gasoline. You know, right now our average for our just regular grade gasoline in Alabama is $3.17. That's a lot. I mean, it just a year ago, that's up more than a dollar from a year ago. And when you add that up over, you know, hundreds of state cars and other, you know, things that they're all driving around, yeah, that can absolutely add up. Not just that, but think about the fact that just as a consumer, because gas costs more, I may want to drive less. In fact, I have kind of made that decision. I filled up the other day, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to go around. I'm not going to drive around as much as I might unless I really need to. Well, what that means is people are buying less gasoline, and that means less money going into the state's road and bridge construction fund. That's how we pay for roads and bridges to be fixed and constructed. So, you know, an upturn in gasoline prices really can mean less revenue to the state of Alabama to fix roads. And that's another problem that's coming with inflation.
It's kind of like a double whammy there, right? It's costing them more for the gasoline that they're using, but they're getting less revenue in from the taxpayers.
Absolutely. And you know, gas prices, that's not just inflation. You've got some supply issues, of course, absolutely. Well, they won't talk about it anymore. You know, sometimes the White House press corps will give them a pass, is the cancellation of the Keystone Pipeline and other projects that, I mean, trying to push oil production off overseas again, which it makes no sense. And if you go back to last year, you know, gas was down to, you know, 180-something, 190-something, which, you know, is a lot, but not nearly the $3 range. And so it's tough to see that price go up. But it does affect everything. You know, Department of Transportation, they are by far the biggest spender of money on goods because they buy the construction materials that build roads. But it's going to affect all of state government, and it's something they're really starting to pay attention to as they look at the budgets for next year.
Doesn't this go right back into a discussion that you and I've had several times? I've myself with this on the show have had many, 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 many times that you get a state agency and we get these stories where, oh, you know what, look at this spending these agencies did to try to make, you know, they bought all these new things to try to make up the difference, right? What they didn't need to spend. So they'll make sure to get full funding in the next year. And while I don't like that, we need to figure out another way around it. It's years like this that they go, you know, this is why if they would have been, okay, they spent less for a few years, gas prices were down, so they had less allocation in the current budget year, and then this happens, then you're really stuck.
Yeah, for sure. If you've been ballooning your budget and, you know, making that up as you go along, then, yeah, it might come back to bite you this year. In recent years, they have better ways. Legislature has better ways to keep track of that and to make sure that people aren't really doing that. But I'm sure it happens. So, yeah, I would not want to be in that position now. But, you know, things cost money. And the biggest things that you don't want the goods and products, right, the physical things that we buy to become so expensive and so out of reach that it affects, you know, teacher salaries, state employees, you know, personnel needs that we actually do need. So that would be my concern.
Well, instead of trying to figure out every possible thing we can spend ARP money on or this or that, maybe this would be a reason to hold some back. Just saying.
Yeah, and the good news is our rainy day funds are pretty much full. You know, we had to spend out of them a couple of years ago. But they're back really healthy. So I don't think it's going to come to that. I don't think we're going to be in a budget problem. But, you know, we've had a couple of years now where the state revenues have been propped up by a lot of federal stimulus money, COVID money. Well, you know, that's going to run out eventually. And at the same time, all that federal spending, all that money in the economy has driven prices up. So it could be a double whammy. Not there yet, but could be in 2023 and beyond.
All right, let's switch to another story here going on in Montgomery. Now, it's what do they call the? I think they call economics the dismal science. I would say reapportionment may be the most dismal of the sciences out there. Who wants to do this? But it's redistricting time in Alabama.
Yeah, I wrote today that here we go. Here's the week for the special session on redistricting, and there's nobody that I know that is looking forward to this. Nobody's excited except maybe. So maybe some Democrats, some on the left that get an opportunity to kind of beat the redistricting gerrymandering drum that they love to do. Maybe they're going to be having fun, but nobody else will because this is not an enjoyable process. But here we are, and the committee will meet tomorrow to pass these maps. We've seen just very undetailed snippets of what these maps look like on a statewide basis, what you can basically fit on Twitter, thanks to Chris England.
Right.
If you want to look at it, it gives you a pretty good idea on congressional maps and state school board, if you are really caring about that. Congressional maps look, not that much different than the current districts. Obviously, they had to ebb and flow a little bit based on population. But I'm really looking forward to tomorrow getting the detailed, down to the block, maps on state house and state senate. That's what's going to cause so much controversy.
Absolutely. You said this before. I want to circle back to the maps. We'll just say this: AL1, with the exception of losing some of Clark County, is now, as best as I can see it, fits inside the absolute county lines of Mobile, Baldwin, Escambia, Monroe, and Washington, with no stepping over county lines. So that looks well. No, I'm wrong. There's a part of Escambia. As soon as I thought I was right, there's a little slice of Escambia that is in two, and not one. But beyond that, you wrote about this in Inside Alabama Politics. Just the ground game. We're looking at the 30,000-foot view, talking about maps, yada, yada, yada. But you say lawmakers in both parties care about how their districts are drawn. Draw in too many more from another party, and it becomes a swing district. Draw in too many more from your own party, and you're risking a primary challenge. Explain that to folks.
Well, yeah. So, in years past, in the old school of politics, if I'm a Republican serving a Republican district, well, I don't want more Democrats in my district because that might threaten me to have a real challenge come election time. And that's held true for a long time. So you draw more and more Republican. But they can become too Republican, right? Let's say, or just because you're drawing in more Republicans, what if these people are from a different area, right? So if I'm, if I'm from Clark County, say, and that's my base, Clark, Monroe, Escambia, that's my base, and then they start drawing in Republicans from Baldwin County, well, I don't like that so much because it's a big population base, and they don't know me. And a Republican from Baldwin County could easily run. And so that's what I mean by that. If just because they're drawing in Republicans doesn't mean it's necessarily helpful to those current office holders, right? If you're you don't want them drawing in too many Republicans for fear that it does become a primary challenge, and it's it encourages maybe more from the right wing to run against you or something like that. So it's not all about Republicans and Democrats. It's also about where the population is located.
And do you think it ever gets to the point where there's an incumbent there and it's redistricting time and they're drawing a new map and they know there's a person across the line that could run against them, that they may make the argument about, well, I want to keep it with the people I know. I want to do this. But inside it's like, I sure hope Jane Smith doesn't get drawn in this district because she'll kick my butt.
Absolutely. Happens every single time. Okay. I haven't heard specific examples of that this time around, but I have no doubt there are at least four or five. They know who might challenge them at the local level. And it might also happen in the opposite, right? So they may get really clever and really lucky and draw out a person that lives in that district. So that's really something. But of course, there are ways to get around that. And in Congress, you don't actually have to live in the district, but it's a pretty unsavory thing to do. So yeah, absolutely, that happens all the time. Behind closed doors, that is happening right now.
Can that line take a turn to the north and go around this area? I don't want to tell y'all why, but go around here and then come back and just make sure to keep that neighborhood right out of my district.
Exactly. Yeah, it happens all the time. And I'm not, there are groups out there that beat the drum on gerrymandering and call it racist and all this. It is complete self-preservation. And it happened. Republicans do it. Democrats do it. It is just a reality of politics. Sometimes it can be egregious. You look at maps, I think of some of the ones up in Maryland and Pennsylvania that have been just absolutely crazy. I don't think there are egregious maps in Alabama. I don't think there are, our congressional districts are drawn pretty fair. There's a group out there, several groups out there that really, really, really want Alabama to have two Democratic congressional seats.
Right.
Well, of course they do, because they're Democrats. But they make the case on, they need to be majority African-American. You know, Terry Sewell and Democrats for going back a generation have drawn that 7th district exactly how they wanted. And it's funny to me, because if you start messing around with that district, if you start messing around with the population in that district, it could affect her ability to get elected. So expect her to, she may not be as vocal as some of those other outside groups.
And just a closer here, when we have like the 7th, majority-minority district, how majority, is it 51%, or does it have to be some 50+1? I mean, how much of a majority?
I mean, yeah, majority-minority district means 51. I'm not certain exactly how much. I think
that's the threshold, though. 51%. That's the threshold you have to accomplish.
Right. But I think I'm looking at these current what they're trying to draw. It would make it 55%, 56% African American.
Okay.
So, you got to think that's not the only Democrats that are there,
right.
They're going to vote 90% at least Democratic. So, yeah, that's a Democratic district, no questions asked. So yeah, it's not as if it's 70% or 80%. So you start tearing away from that to create a different African American district, and man, you've diluted two districts.
Yeah.
So you be careful what you ask for is what I always say during redistricting.
All right, people want to get more info on redistricting and all the news from Alabama and Washington. How do they get your email?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click subscribe at the very top. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
And I appreciate you, and we'll be checking in a whole bunch more. Get ready for Montgomery. I'm glad you're there. Glad you're there for us, man. Talk
to you
soon.
Be good.
There he is, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Coming right back to your phone calls and text. These maps are up. I retweeted one of them, one link up on my Twitter feed, at FMTalk1065.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
This is good. So, obviously, real estate so much in demand at this point. So, Leanna, my friend, hands me this note that came to her at the station. Said they, I hope the note finds you well and in good health. You know, it's one of these things where it's a computer printup, but it's supposed to look like penmanship, right? They're looking to buy the property. And they're looking, Leanna said, we're just lucky for us because they're looking to buy our studios here. The address they said was 106.5 FM Talk. Who knew that was our address? But Leanna, I say you call them back and let's take whatever they're willing to offer. No, we don't actually own this place. No, we rent space here in the building near Airport and 65. But if they want to buy it from us, they're ready to pay. I'll do some wheeling and dealing here. I really, they're going to get a great deal. They said buy as is, no repairs, or cash money. I'm in. I'm in. Let's sell it. Sell it, sell it, sell it. I mean, like, I don't know. You offered to buy it from me. I never asked if I owned it, but good option. All right, we'll go to the news here, and then we'll come back. And we'll get texts and calls at 343-0106. Plus, some of the shooting news from Mobile from over the weekend. We'll get to that coming up. And Yellen, oh, she's got an idea to get your money.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, traffic update here, too, just coming in. Wreck on top of the airport, I-65 overpass. A fire truck and police are on scene. Thank you for that update there. Get more info on it. We'll pass along. 343-0106. That's the telephone number, 343-0106. All right. Yeah, I say sell it, man. Just tell them whatever, you know. We'll take, we got $20. We won't go below $20, but they can buy it for $20. All right. Oh, speaking of 65, too, did you see the update here on the shooting? You know, like, right, what shooting, Sean? This one in particular, Mobile Police, story from KRG for our news partners. Mobile Police say they're investigating after a man was shot while driving on I-65. Police say the man was driving south on I-65 from Spring Hill Avenue when a car pulled up next to him and the passenger fired shots into his vehicle, hitting him in the left hip. Police say the vehicle the shooter was inside was unknown to the victim. Police were notified about the shooting about 6:45 yesterday morning. Man was taken to the hospital. We expect to be okay. Have any information on this, contact Mobile Police Department. Where was Alec Baldwin at the... No, it's too soon. Wasn't... Okay. Speaking of this, just for a second. I don't do a lot of these kind of stories, but... Let's talk about this Baldwin story for a second. Okay. I'm having trouble. Like, sometimes on these stories, I don't get how it happened. It says, AP says here, an assistant director unwittingly handed Alec Baldwin a loaded weapon and told him it was safe for use in the moments before the actor fatally shot a cinematographer, according to court records released on Friday. Cold gun. It's in quotes here. The assistant director announced, according to a search warrant filed in Santa Fe court, instead the gun was loaded with live rounds, and when Baldwin pulled the trigger Thursday on the set of the Western, he killed cinematographer Halina Hutchins. Director Joel Souza was standing behind her and was wounded, according to records. So I think people were saying, was it multiple shots? I think it was a pass-through, is what I think. I know that is graphic, but I think that's what happened here. But it's just, and there's a lot more of the story. We could take probably an hour to talk about this story. But what I don't understand, as a possible gun, I have somewhere between 0 and 500 guns. Maybe I don't have a single one. Maybe I do. I don't get this. I don't get. So you have prop guns, right? The armorer has prop guns. So to me, the prop gun should be modified in a way. I know they want to make them realistic, which, by the way, Hollywood, that's so anti-Second Amendment, fills their films full of just shooting everybody. Everybody's shooting everybody. Although these days that may be just documentary-style filmmaking. Just shooting. The Hollywood that hates Second Amendment rights fills violence in their movies, right? And you know what? Whose fault it is? We the people. People who consume the movies. You like the movie, therefore they make more of them. But how the prop gun, And I don't know the workings of prop guns. I may or may not be familiar with the workings of real guns. How the action's not cleared if the round, if you put the round in the prop gun, let's say it's gonna have where smoke comes out and fire comes out of the barrel. There's not a projectile. There's not a bullet. So you have a, and Lord knows I used to talk about that movie Sniper. Was that Tom Berenger's movie Sniper? The beginning of the movie, there's like a scene where snipers are somewhere in Central America. The spotter spots it. The rifleman shoots, and the whole cartridge comes out the end of the rifle, like in the show open, the movie open. Like the brass and the bullet in the brass come out and go traveling through. I saw that. I said, "Well, you've lost me, at this point." But in a prop gun, you'd have the brass there. But you wouldn't have a bullet seated in the brass. Wouldn't you have opened the action, looked what's in there? I mean, I don't know how. And once again, I can believe, Lord knows it's not easy for me to be on here defending Alec Baldwin. But, I mean, if the armorer hands him the gun, he still should check the gun. Normal person who'd ever use a firearm is going to know what they're shooting. But they tell him it's a cold gun, it's a safe gun, and he shoots it. And I couldn't believe it on Friday when it came out and they said it was a live round. Because I was thinking it had to be like too much whatever they would put in a prop gun cartridge to make it smoke. You know, it was something else. They're saying it was a live round. How the hell is there a live round put inside a gun on a movie set? Nobody checks it and clears it and looks before they... And I'm sure it's a Western, so in a Western, they're not going to be shooting a semi-automatic, right? Unless it's like some future Western something. But if it's some true to Western, they're going to be shooting a revolver, right? So you would check the cartridges in the revolver. There's no reason for there to be a bullet seated in any of the... I really can't figure this one out. It leaves me scratching my head. What would a live round be doing there on the set? How that would go down? I don't get it. I mean, like I said, we could spend a lot of time on this story. Maybe as more information comes out, we could talk about it. But it seems like it's just a horrible story. You have a person dead, another one wounded, when they're playing make-believe. That's what movies are, right? I know everybody takes them very seriously, but they're playing make-believe. And someone gets shot. And it's not the first time. I mean, you've had these prop gun incidents in the past as well. All right, go to the phones. Fred, has anyone said guns don't kill people? Alec Baldwin kills me. Now, Fred, that's too soon. There's my friend Michael's saying too soon, but he's joking. Leo, but of course he broke. And he said, I read they were using that gun for target practice with live ammo earlier on the set for recreation. What idiot allows that? What? Shouldn't the prop gun be modified to where it's not able? Who is doing this? Leo goes on to say, but of course he broke the first three rules of safeguard handling of guns. Treat all guns as if they're loaded. Hallelujah, Leo. Dan says, have I seen the controversy with the prop unions? No, Dan, I have a life. I have not seen that. And D says, LA Times says there was another accident with the gun going off at a movie a few days earlier. I heard something this morning about that they had all these issues going on. Jay says, you'd think a prop gun would have a restrictor plate inside the barrel, making any projectile egress literally impossible, where the gases connects it, but that's it. I'd rather see a barrel explode in someone's hand than see a live round go down range. You got that right. Let's go to the phones here. I got tons of texts here, but let me go to let's go to Dave and Foley up next. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, Sean. How are you today?
This afternoon's great. How are you?
Why can't the clip and or the chamber be modified not to accept a full length round?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, if I'm just guessing at this point, but if they're shooting a Western, right, then they're going to have revolvers, unless it's way back and it'd still be revolvers, cap and ball. So couldn't you modify? I mean, I would even have the cylinder not even move because you just need one at a time. I don't know. I know that I'm in a world of like make-believe guns. I don't know like I know real guns. I don't know what you could do, but why the hell you'd have a gun up there that could accept a round and then had people out target? Okay, even, and appreciate the call, Dave, but even if people were target practicing, like everybody's sending me these, even if they were target practicing with the gun, which is still stupid on the movie set, why nobody cleared the action, went through and looked? You know, and take no offense, if you hand me a handgun, a shotgun, a rifle, and tell me it's clear, I'm going to make sure it's clear. And that doesn't mean I don't like you. Doesn't mean I don't trust you. It means that's what I do. You hand me I'm going to clear it, and it's OCD. I will clear an action two or three times, even if I've looked in there and I see there's no round in there. You clear an action. let alone, but I'm not in the business of pointing guns at anybody either. But movies are, make-believe is. All right. Go to Susan in Mobile. Hey, Susan.
Hey, how are you doing? Well, I mean, you've talked about this, about how the live ammo even got in there. But now, given this thought about they were using them to shoot, like, yesterday, the day before.
It's the dumbest thing. Yeah, who would do that?
I mean, yeah, who would do that? And then who would even want to take a chance with a gun? Oh, is this one we used yesterday out there when we were shooting targets, or is this the prop gun?
Yeah, hey, that's Billy, go grab me a gun. Billy, just go grab me whatever gun. Just grab one here. Let's do this.
That makes no sense.
I appreciate your call. It makes no sense to me either. And it's tragic because, I mean, so much focus on Alec Baldwin with this, but this woman is dead while they're playing make-believe. No, it's, you know, I would say maybe we just start circulating prop guns into our community and hopefully reduce the amount of people shooting people for various reasons or no reason. But then again, there you go. Prop gun. What are you going to do? And yes, I saw on the text line, so many texts here. There's like 40 or 50 here that they don't use a prop gun. They use a real gun with blanks, I guess, for the authenticity. Even bigger reason to have a systematic check. Who would have allowed them to be out shooting target practice with a weapon that was going to be used on the film? Oh, my gosh. All right. Be right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right. And if something clears up there, will y'all let me know from traffic there? But we have a wreck on top of the Airport Boulevard overpass on over 65. It's on Airport. Fire truck and police on the scene right there. So it could affect you coming and going here during the lunch hour. All right. Why don't you say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars. And I hear, Larry, the password is trucks.
Absolutely. You know, we got a great selection of trucks right now. We got more on the way. So we are getting stocked back up in the truck business, but we got, like I said, we got a great selection sitting here right now, and a lot of them are fresh, so I'm getting them all checked out and ready to put on the lot for sale, and I'll be able to tell you all about them later on this week.
I can't wait for it. I mean, I'm a fan of y'all's trucks. I bought one here this year. People are looking for trucks, and a lot of the trucks we want have been hard to find, but y'all been able to reach out and get them.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we have really reached out to find trucks, so but we got a great selection. Like I said, we are picky about what we buy.
All right, people want to check out the selection of trucks at LCM Motor Cars, plus check out the SUVs, midsize SUVs, the gas misers, all the other vehicles. How do they find you?
Come see us at the corner of Highway 90 and Plantation Road. Visit us online at lcmmotorcars.com. Please like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, you'll read a couple of these texts here. I mean, a lot coming in. I guess maybe I'll get to the Yellen story. Maybe I get it in by the end of the hour. Let's see. Yeah, there's a lot of people saying that, and just because I don't read out your text, it's just there's so many. This unnamed texter says, why did he point the gun at someone to pull the trigger? I think it's part of the movie. They were doing that. Yeah, exactly. Another unnamed texter says, I don't take anybody's word if they say the power is off. I still check to see if it's off to prevent electrocutions. Preach. It's a great ad. I don't know if you even... Maybe it's not that great of an ad because I don't remember who it's for, but like it's the husband has his hand down the sink in the disposal, and you know, the wife is flipping switches, this and that, and you don't know what switch it is. Or something. I mean, it stayed with me, you know, knowing what that would do to your fingers there. Bayman says they should make all prop guns in a caliber that is not a North American cartridge. Use a particular cartridge for every prop gun. They can make it like 29 caliber round. That's really smart, Bayman. You know, something that's not, that there's no way there would be a round that would fit in there. Monty says, I'm glad Keanu Reeves' film crew of John Wick didn't allow live rounds during the filming. Yeah, how many times they shoot in that movie? Is there any count on that? How many times... trigger was pulled. Someone on the set said, hey, I got a revolver we can use. Yeah, great. That's Super Bob. Says prop gun. This is a text from Dave. Gulf Shores prop gun discharged by Alec Baldwin was reportedly used recreationally prior to the death of Halnia Hutchins on the New Mexico set. Use rubber guns with no mechanisms. Yeah, but Hollywood wants to be, you know, they want to be accurate when they show all the gun violence, right? That's what they want to do. All right, let's go to the phones here. David is in Mobile up next. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. After the death of Brandon Lee 30 years ago, there was a clear-cut protocol put in place for to use on all major motion picture sets, and that has three main components. Number one, no live rounds allowed on a movie set, which was clearly violated.
Yeah, they were target practicing, not just kind of, not just somebody had a round in their pocket. They were out shooting cans or whatever.
Yeah. Number two, is the gun is supposed to be checked, cleared before and after each use. That was clearly not followed. And number three, even with a blank in the round, and the gun is supposed to, you're still so supposed to be 20 feet away, so you don't get injured by the percussion or any burns because
right.
of the,
yeah,
the powder flying out of the gun.
Sure. And that's what I thought at first, David. I thought, like, they packed too much, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That there wasn't a round. I was like, there's no way there was somebody shot a live round. It was a mispacked blank. But it sounds like it was a stinking live round.
But to your point about Alec Baldwin should have cleared the gun before he used it, you are correct that if you or I, somebody that has experience with guns, that has been taught gun safety, it's just automatic to us. We clear a gun before we go use it to make sure that it is good to go. For somebody that is as anti-gun as Alec Baldwin is, he probably has very little to no gun safety training. And do you really want somebody with no gun safety training checking, clearing a gun?
No, true. True. Well, but I guess I make assumptions that people know how to clear a weapon, and you're right. They probably don't.
So that's my point on that.
Hey, there, and appreciate the call. That's my. I guess seeing lenses. Good way to point that out. I see things through certain lenses. I shouldn't. I shouldn't expect that they would know how to clear it. And let's see here. Doesn't use Facebook says. And you wouldn't offend me by clearing a weapon I handed you. Good. And the offense wouldn't be taken the other way. And my obsessive clear it three times stuff goes on to say doesn't have Facebook from the text line. Says, you cannot tell me there's not a way to make an authentic, realistic-looking firearm that can produce percussion and smoke with no projectile, one that has no chamber or plug barrel. This is 100% negligence on the part of all people involved in this shooting. If you aren't fully trained with the firearm, don't pick one up. Well said. Let this be a warning to everybody out there, right? Even people who like want to get a firearm and they're like, yeah, I'm going to get one. And I said, if you shot it, you know how to clear it. You know how to do, well, I'll get around to it. I said, they don't have it. It's a bigger danger to you. You know, if you don't know what you're doing with it, than not having one. Oh my God. We'll have to get to these in maybe another segment here. Cause there's a lot of them here and people are saying, why couldn't you use CGI and all that? Yeah. If you can make a spaceship fly out of a dragon's butt, you know what I'm saying, make it realistic, why can't you have a I don't know what movie that's in, but it's probably in one, why couldn't you have a CGI? You could put the smoke and you could put the fire in the gun and make the people on the set go bang 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 bang, and then you can edit that out later. Let me get just 1 minute here, but I just want to, like, just for a second make you aware of this story, and then we can look into this later this week. Story from Business Insider, so not exactly, it's not like the right-wing pundit, patriotcrypto.com. I mean, this is from Business Insider. Headline, here's how Janet Yellen's proposed tax on unrealized capital gains may work. And I'm going to put this up on Twitter, too. And maybe for some of y'all, this will make you think, well, of course you would do this. And to me, I don't get it. U.S. Secretary Janet Yellen, oh, I get it, but U.S. Secretary, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has proposed a tax on unrealized capital gains of billionaires. The unsold wealth of the super rich are often transferred to their heirs, and eventually when they are sold, they yield very little tax. Wealth managers believe this could spook investors in the U.S. that could move their money towards emerging economies, which includes markets like India. Let me actually, the note I wrote in my prep that's somewhere here, I don't even know where it is, but I said, you wonder why people pull all these stunts, these very wealthy people, to hide money. This is why. Like, do we need to look at changing the laws? The laws that were written by Democrats and Republicans in Congress? Yes, we do. But this, Janet Yellen says, even if you haven't realized the profit on a capital gain, you should be paying tax on it. We'll need a longer segment to discuss this, but you can check out the full story. I popped it up on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 1065. Hey, we get to talk some fair in just a second. My buddy Josh Woods is joining us from the Greater Gulf State Fair out of the grounds. Lots to talk about with him coming up in just minutes. Stay right there.